Welcome to our podcast. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's lurking around each and every corner. Now here are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to episode 14. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. Nate is our sound engineer, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, what's going on, man?
Nothing too much, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I was trying to work on my Italian there, right?
Hey,
what's the matter with you?
Hey, Tony. Hey. No, I'm doing great, and you know why.
Why?
Because we just got interviewed by the Jerry Pauly Hillbilly Horror Stories podcast. Yay.
And Tracy.
And Tracy, his lovely bride. Yeah. Yep. That was fun.
I did confess my love to her.
Yeah.
I had to get that out there because I really do. I think the world of both of them, but she's... She's a sweetheart.
Those two, so I've known them for about 4 years. They are the sweetest couple. Most genuine people you will ever meet, talk to, whatever. They're great. But yeah, guys, we were interviewed by Hillbilly Horror Stories by Jerry and Tracy just before we started recording, and it was fun.
I was trying to explain to them that when you listen to them talk, it's like being over for dinner or being home for the holidays or something. Just like, it just makes you feel warm inside, you know, so they do a really good job of, they're a great podcast. You need to go listen to them, definitely.
Yeah, we've mentioned them before, but yeah, definitely give Hillbilly Horror Stories, and we'll post on our social media as it gets closer whenever Jerry does drop that episode, but it was fun. Nate, what's going on with you, man?
No, not a whole lot. Just enjoying our little interview. And
it was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, hanging out, having a fun Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's our second one in a row. Like, you know, normally we take a weekend or a week, Wednesday off, the week off. And this time we didn't, so which is kind of fun in itself.
I know. It's back to back.
Oh, I love it.
Nothing. Yeah, that's always good.
Don't tell Jenna. Hi, Sam. Sam there's, is here to say hi.
There's Sam, the official Mako dog.
I will not stop petting you because otherwise you bark.
That's okay. That's okay.
It is definitely okay.
No, but we did. We had a great time with that interview, and now we are going to be recording our episode 14 already. That's exciting. It's exciting. And you know what? I really don't have any other announcements.
No announcements? Oh, my
no,
gosh.
No, I know.
Last week we had a bunch.
I know. I'm like, wait a minute. Look, I'm just going to turn it over to you, Sean.
Okay.
Tell the listeners what we're going to talk about.
I'm so excited to have that turned over to me.
For episode 14.
This is episode 14. And gosh, I keep thinking of, you know, what we've talked about, what we're talking about now, and then what we're going to talk about. And I get so excited, but I have to focus on what we're doing now. This one is going, I got to credit Nate because this was his idea. I know I talked about Dracula and Frankenstein being some of my favorites, but we are going to talk about who the real historical Dracula was, and this is Vlad the Impaler.
So Vlad.
We have to get the Vlad.
I love that.
Or Vlad Dracula.
Dracula.
Or Vlad, was it Tepes?
Tepes, yeah.
Tepes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Tepes, yeah.
Yep.
So we are going to delve into him, and... this is, you know, we had to stop and think about, you know, with H.H. Holmes, we had to call him the dastardly fiend and all that, the scoundrel and all those fun sounding words. But this time we really have to get our Romanian blood going and figure out how to describe this guy. I don't know without saying like a couple choice cuss words, but man, I mean, he's
ruthless.
Ruthless is good. That's a good way to do
that
it.
That is a good word to describe a blood.
There's a little joke I have to make. We talk about Turda, and I think we're just going to have to drop it in every single because it's funny sounding, but Turda, Romania. Now, when I saw it when I was looking at pictures to put on Facebook, which I think those are pretty good pictures, and I found some that were a little, good. Some of them pushed the envelope, and I'm like, I can't leave those on there. There's some really bloody ones.
Yeah, there's some gruesome stuff out there on them.
But one came up with Romania. It said Turda, Romania in Transylvania, and I was like, is it really in Transylvania? So apparently... Turda, the amusement park underground, is technically in Transylvania.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
Isn't that wild?
Okay.
So, I did not know that, so.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, good. So, yeah, Vlad the Impaler for episode 14. This guy, like Nate said, is ruthless. That's
his way or the highway.
with the steak way, right?
Yeah, when he says steak, it's not not the food.
Do you want to stay for steak?
Yeah, that's not. I knew a little bit about this guy. You know, you hear stories or movies and all that, but there's a lot that there's a lot to this dude. Just the reign and, you know, his.
Well, and I think a lot of people, you know, I mean, you talk about Dracula and everybody thinks of Bram Stoker's Dracula and I want to suck your blood and turn into a bat.
Right. Well, that's the romantic way of looking at Dracula,
Yeah, the sexy
way. I think a lot of people
Hollywood.
Don't realize that there really was a Dracula.
And right. His name was Dracula. And he even signed it Dracula. There's that one of the parchment that I put on there actually has his signature.
So that picture was awesome. Dracula. All of them were good, but I was really, taken back by that because I thought, oh my gosh, that's original.
It's real history, right?
Yeah. Because he was, we're talking 1400s. That's a long time ago.
Well, and then that's what's funny is they don't, even though he's a historical figure, he was born in either somewhere between 1428 and 1431.
Mm-hmm.
In, I don't know, Romania, Transylvania, Wallachia, I would say.
Yeah, Wallachia.
Wallachia. It's like voila, only voila. Right? Wallachia.
Yeah.
And he's considered a national hero.
Which is funny, too. Yeah, in Romania. Yeah. Because he is an advocate for Christianity and against the Muslims. So that goes back historically speaking. Well, and the Crusades. And
going to battle against all the different clans and stuff trying to invade Romania.
Right, right,
He was trying to protect his people.
Yep. And so all the stuff we're going to talk about, and then to say, well, but in Romania, he's revered as a hero, but he's also, in my opinion, a bloodthirsty, ruthless monster in some ways, too. I think that's a fair way to put it as well.
If you cross this guy. Ooh.
Oh, yeah, there's...
No bueno.
Yeah.
And we'll get into some of the... It's kind of like H.H. Holmes. There's so many ways he tortured.
Yeah, a lot of stories, a lot of different ways that he tortured, and he enjoyed it.
Oh, really enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the part that when these guys were talking about, I don't get... It's killing them. Killing people is one thing, like that, as awful as that is, but the desire or the way they want to do it and the enjoyment they get out of it, that's just another level to me. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand that mindset, you know?
They said that, and too, like, I mean, he was definitely in an era of where men were men and men were raised to think, you know, and especially him and his class, you know, he was Vlad the Third. His dad was Vlad the Second. His dad was Dracul, which is because he took an oath with the Order of the Dragon, which was designed to help promote Christianity and Catholicism. And so Vlad the Third, Vlad the Impaler, took over Dracula, which is son of Dracul, or the son of the dragon.
Right.
And that's the old language. That's what it meant. Romanian, the old language meant dragon. And nowadays, Dracul or Dracula means the devil. So that makes it even a little more interesting.
Yeah, I had that in my notes as well. Yeah, the dragon, and then, it's means the devil. I thought those were interesting. Creepy.
It's very creepy.
Yeah. And I have in my notes, it said, because they called it a... yeah, like you said, the order known as the Order of the Dragon, but it was supposed to be a Christian crusade. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not...
Well, they had the original Crusades, right? And then this was like during his time, the Pope had asked for, and I don't ask me the year. We talked about the history is so deep in this that we're not going to date. We could talk for hours about the historical aspects. So we're going to try not to get, we love the history, but it's not, we're not going to get too deep because it gets really crisscross applesauce with all this.
Yeah.
Complexity.
Well, and he was the ruler, and then he got imprisoned, and then he became ruler again, and then imprisoned. And
he's fighting the Hungarians, so, and he's fighting the Ottomans, and he's fighting the Ottomans again.
There's
a
lot of stuff going on in his time period.
I do recommend people looking into the history because it is fascinating. Listening to all the videos and looking into the history, it is fascinating. He didn't even know who his mother was. Like, they don't... His dad had, a wife, but he had a lot of mistresses. So they said they really don't know who his mother was. So, that kind of gets lost in history. So
I had in my notes that, you're right. As far as they think that his mom, was known to be they call it a kinswoman of Alexander I of Moldova.
Moldova.
Yeah. But other than that, not much.
Yeah, at one point he has to go and seek refuge in Moldova too. So,
Yeah, you know, and like I said, like Sean and Nate said, we could get into so much of the history and but.
Yeah, I mean, we could write down a timeline and go, well, this year you did this. This year we did
that. Yeah, you know, but yeah. We can tell a little bit about that. Yeah, but let's get into the good stuff level, that you right? guys want to hear. The, yeah. You know.
Well,
what makes him Vlad the Impaler?
Right. Well, you said Vlad Tepes is another. Vlad Tepes is, I guess, Romanian or whatever for the Impaler. So Vlad Tepes means the Impaler.
Impaler, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually, I want to say the Tepes was what the Turks or the Ottomans gave. That's the name they gave him.
Okay. Yeah, this guy. Yeah, and actually, am I correct? He had two different time periods that he was leader of Romania.
And I think it's, well, and I had down three. That's
three.
It's three. It's three times.
Whatever it's called. Like
oh, the, you know what? I read my notes wrong. Yeah.
The three. Leader of.
Vivold.
Yeah, it's Vivold, however you say that. It's V-O-I-V-O-D-E of Wallachia, excuse me, three times, yep, between 1448 and 1476. When he became the technical ruler, he was only 17 when his dad was killed.
Yeah. Yeah, high school age.
Shoo. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I have my note. I just read it wrong.
I need to brush up on my Romanian.
On your Romanian? I don't know. I looked for some of the pronunciations, and it's still gobbledygook when you look at it. So I'm kind of struggling with it, too, honestly. Yeah.
We apologize ahead of time if we botch these up.
Yeah, anybody in Romania is like, oh, my gosh.
We're from Plainfield, Indiana. Yeah. You know, give us a break.
We have no clue.
Can we buy some consonants?
Right, exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah,
too many vowels.
Oh man,
it is interesting when he was younger. So he was his dad was the leader, and the Turks basically captured him and his two sons, and they allowed him to still the Vlad II to continue to be the ruler. But they took his two sons. So it was Vlad III, and his brother Radu, which I like the name Radu. I think
Radu
is cool. But so the Ottomans kept them, and they were prisoners, but they were still fed well, they were treated well, they were educated, they were trained. They said they would have definitely been like very physically active and just normal boys growing up, but they were, you know, they weren't really allowed to you know, follow their Christian faith. They were trying to get them to be Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And Vlad wasn't into the whole Muslim thing. He still stuck to his Christianity and the Catholicism. And Radu eventually became Muslim and stuck with it. And he was a lot more of a follower for the Muslims. And so they got along with him a lot better. And Vlad got whipped and all this kind of stuff. But he was still that rebellious spirit. And he still had ingrained in him, I'm going to be the leader someday, and I'm going to act as such. So
yep.
That's what drove him is his leadership. And he knew, you know, what his heritage was.
Oh, yeah. And he was, yeah, you talk about driven, this guy.
Mm-hmm. Pretty driven, yeah.
Yeah, I would say. A little motivated, a little driven. Not lazy.
No.
And to me, just about his whole, when he was the leader of Romania, just from the get-go, just intense. I was trying to think of the word. I guess intense. Just there's a lot there with him.
Well, what we know of him is from historical records and history, and that's how history remembers him as intense, you know, and like Nate said, ruthless. The Catholic Church was very supportive of him and the fact that he was Christianity over Muslims. And even the Pope was singing his praises and saying how wonderful he was for the church. So in those times, you have to that's why I think Romania today still reveres him as a hero, because you have to take him out of his time period and see he was trying to survive. He was trying to make sure that his people kept, you know, their traditions and their religion and weren't taken over by what they saw as an evil force.
Protecting his lands
and
their heritage.
And fighting for them.
Because there had been crusades before. And then, like I said, the Pope during his time was wanting to start another crusade that was supposed to start be 3 years long and try to drive the Turks back into the desert. And the only person in Europe, they sent out all these letters to all the royalty and these leaders. And the one that really took up the banner and said, I'm with you, with the Catholic Church, was Vlad the Impaler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it makes sense why, to this day, 2021, they still think he's a hero.
Right, exactly.
Because anybody that leads your country, leads your, I don't care, if your family or your neighborhood or your town, I mean, that's who you'll get behind. And if it's 600 years, 700 years later, yeah, you're still going to be revered. but if you're fighting for your people.
Even the Ottomans liked him. Like, even he finally asked to be able to go back to his homeland. You know, when the when his dad was killed, his dad and his uncle actually were killed. It says they were killed when John Hunyadi, I love that name, Hunyadi. The government of Hungary invaded Wallachia, and so they allowed him to come back. And he, that was one of his first good stories, is where he came back and he invited these nobles to come for dinner and to come and, you know, let's celebrate you guys, you know. And they're like, oh, okay, you know, even though you killed my dad and you killed my uncle. So he had him over and they thought he was just going to like have a peace treaty with them and just talk about power and control. And he basically, like I said, in the course of, you know, feeding them and having a party and all this stuff, he basically had all of the noblemen, anybody that was even connected loosely to noble, the nobles were impaled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and they had some stories in some ways he had the sharp spikes and sometimes he had the rounded greased poles.
Oh, yeah.
And we're trying to be very careful how
so
we
I was going to say
just depended
where
on,
he impaled them.
You guys want to explain what impalement means?
Some people,
well, the good way of
might
doing
not
it would
know,
be
really. I mean, what the
putting a pig on a spit to roast it on a fire, more
upright.
Or less, but then you
upright it. Yeah. Well, and a quick way to do it, like, you know, impale you through the heart and kill you quickly. Mm-hmm. But that's not how he liked to do it. He didn't like to do it that way. Now, if he was had a good, a nice day, he was a sharp spike and stick you through. Rump to head. And that's still awful because all your organs are being pushed and it could still take you several days. But if he wasn't in a good mood, it was like a rounded and greased pole.
He'd spin the spike over and give you the blunt end.
Yeah.
That's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's still going to kill you.
A little bit awful.
But if you I remember Nate, when we were talking about this last week, you were like, if he likes you, he'll do it the easy way.
Yeah. If he likes you, he'll give you the pointy end.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah. You think people celebrate thanks for, I really appreciate it.
He likes me.
See
really,
you in the next
really
life.
But then he would display him out in front of his castles and stuff.
It'd any
be like,
dinner?
It'd be like a... There's garden
stories that he would eat and dip. There's stories of what was a German noble or somebody that was had seen him like taking the blood of his victims while he's eating in a bowl and dipping his bread in it and just taking like reveling in the fat what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it wasn't uncommon for him to sit at a table eating
and
having impaled bodies around him.
Yeah. What great, ambiance. What great atmosphere that is. They have dead bodies that are impaled in your... Oh, hey. Take another piece of bread here.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That,
it's
like,
not
these
real
guys
appetizing.
That kill, but it's that level of the
that's where the ruthlessness came out of him.
Yeah. That's a sight I cannot...
He's hardcore in that aspect, but then he's also a leader for his country and his people.
Yeah.
A very, you know... Trying to do the right thing for them too. So
right.
Like he's because very double-breasted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very, yeah, ruthless. But then a side of him that is compassionate for his,
The ruthlessness, they say he got that from the Ottomans, the Turks, because the Turks were very ruthless. And that's how they not just got power, but that's how they controlled people and, you know, put that psychological, we'll call it psychological warfare, because he did
it
a lot.
It was too, because he was. When he would go into battle, I mean, he'd only have 600 guys, whereas, you know, Ottoman Empire is 6,000, 60,000.
At one time, they had
whatever.
When
they
are chasing him down at his end, it's 150,000.
Yeah. And so then you come charging in on his castle and you have 60 impaled people, you know, out in front of it, that makes you go, oh, wait, I don't know if I want to mess with this dude.
Right. Yeah, and that's what happened is they came upon...
So it is a scare tactic.
Yeah, at one point, that's what he had. He had a bunch of the Turks on these spikes, and that did it, scared him to turn around and go home, because it's just...
There's one story...
Disgusting.
...where, just show how far he would go with a lot of this stuff, is there's two monks that came and tried to... give him some respects and that kind of stuff. He didn't like him very well. And so he impaled him. And while he was impaling him, their donkey started going, you know, neighing and making a commotion. And he's like, oh, well, impale it too. Yeah.
Yeah, because they said that the donkey was upset that...
That the masters owner, were dead or whatever.
Killed
so
that
he's
thing
like,
too.
Yeah, send him with him. Impale it too.
I was more upset reading the that than I was about the guys. I'm like, oh, not the yeah. poor donkey.
Well, he impaled his own people too, though. But yeah. he was big into, like, he very much, like, he had two wives, and they didn't talk a lot about him having any mistresses because he was very much about,
yeah, I didn't see that.
Like, you don't mess around. And he was with, you know, infidelity and women that were the, you know, weren't faithful to their husbands. We're not going to get too graphic about how they did that, but they would impale them in their privates and through their mouth, and it was a whole different thing. And they would, you know, take off certain parts and make the man eat them. And it's just very disturbing. But he got, but they say he had rule over his people that way. There was, it's just.
And
it,
he did other various torture things too.
Oh yeah,
I mean, like, he had racks and a, you know, a typical dungeon in his castles and that kind of, I mean, he did other things than impalement. But
he had a, well, he got rid of his poverty problem. They said that he invited all, he didn't like beggars. He was a big anti-beggar person. He didn't like, you know, what they represented and the poverty and the dysfunction in his society. So he invited all the beggars for dinner after feeding them. They locked the doors and they burned the place down. So he was credited for getting rid of poverty in his people, but in a very treacherous way.
Man. Yeah. When he did something, yeah, positive, it's still kind of like, oh, could you
there's a hard way of getting to hard that way positive. To get,
yeah. Just brutal. Everything was brutal.
Yeah.
Good or bad. I mean, I guess it's all bad. I don't know. You were, Nate, when you were talking about those two guys that I had in my notes, this one's awful too. Talking about the Turkish messengers.
Oh yeah,
when they came to pay their respects, but they refused to remove their turbans.
Yeah,
and and Vlad, you know, was
old Vladdy boy
because they wanted to strengthen their you know, to strengthen the custom. Anyway, so
he was insulted.
He was insulted, and he had those turbans nailed to their head, and that way they could never remove their
right.
Then sent them home.
And sent them home. That's right.
Which obviously
with the Ottomans,
yeah, the Sultan was not happy with that.
No. But that, oh my gosh, can you imagine having your turban nailed to your head with three spikes?
There was, so there's 10, you know, there's all the, I don't know if you have all the stats on that, but how many, there was somewhere, one place I saw 80,000 people that he was, had killed. Somewhere it was 100,000. So he killed tens of thousands of people.
We thought H.H. Holmes was bad.
I know. This guy's got H.H. Holmes like a nothing. He's like a daycare center compared to
H.H. is a minor leaguer.
Yeah, exactly. Bush league, right? Yeah,
Texas leaguer.
Exactly.
It's pretty brutal. Well, they had 20, I think, like when they say 20,000 as far as in his garden. Like
yeah, up to impaled 20. And then had so many he burned and the 10.
Somewhere in there.
10 that he, nailed their turbans to their head. And it's just, it's crazy. He also, a couple first were, they said the first cannon was used by his father in Europe, or in history, I guess, which was interesting. And then also gunpowder was used for the first time by Dracula, or Vlad the Impaler, during one of his, like, in the forest. He did a lot of guerrilla warfare, you know, where he'd sneak attack you or ambush you.
Yeah, because he was always outnumbered.
Disappear. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he
was very smart, very intelligent as far as the way he wanted.
Yeah, very smart warfare.
Mm-hmm. Gunpowder, but this was another one. So he was a hit and run artist. Throughout his military career, Vlad Tepes had to get creative in order to hold his own against much larger armies. He often resorted to guerrilla tactics, sending cavalry units on lightning fast hit and run raids. Vlad even resorted to chemical warfare, but his version of it was utterly disturbing. He would allegedly send people suffering from infectious diseases like leprosy or the plague, the bubonic plague, to intermingle with the invading Turks and take them out. And it worked.
Bio warfare.
Exactly. He was ahead of his time.
Yeah, he was.
Like, shock and awe, right?
Yeah, that's why I was impressed actually by him. I mean, if you're just talking strictly about the war and or his tactics, he was very smart, intelligent guy to especially being outnumbered. He used his brain instead of just, let's go in and fight him. Well,
then I think there's three castles that he erected.
Yeah, right.
And he always had an escape route so that he wouldn't get
into
caught.
The mountains, so right?
But out of any of the castles, if the enemy were to break into the castle, he was already gone.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So,
yeah, that's what was so frustrating for the Turks when they were trying to come find him. It was difficult to find him.
Yeah.
There's even stories about him having, because the Turks weren't allowed to leave their tents at night. And he knew that since he had stayed with them. And that was one of the things that he took advantage of. He actually snuck himself into their camps, encampments, and figured out some of the main, like, tents. And he was trying to figure out which one was the Sultan's. And his goal was to basically stab him in the heart. So they basically got a plan together to come back, you know, get into certain tents and then kill the people in those tents, being one of them being the Sultan. But when he came back, he couldn't find the Sultan's tent. So it actually, you know, it backfired mm-hmm. on him. But there was another one. It showed like how much power he had over his people. It says, thanks to his murderous ways, Dracula had near complete control over his people. Once he became Vavoid, or whatever, however we said that, which is the prince of Wallachia, according to legend, to demonstrate how much his subjects feared him, Vlad had a golden cup crafted and placed in the town square of his capital, Torgavista. I knew I was going to mess that up. The rule was that anybody could drink out of it, but it could never leave the square. An estimated 60,000 people, many of them quite poor, lived in the town at the time, but during his entire reign, the precious cup was never stolen.
Ah.
So he had iron grip.
Mm-hmm.
People were scared to death of him. They didn't want to be impaled.
No, they knew what was going to happen if he caught you.
Right.
Yeah, that's not a good way to go.
Then he was caught a couple times. He was thrown in prison a couple times during his reign. And one thing that I saw, like, he didn't stop in prison. He was in prison for cruelty. Imagine that.
Right.
And, really? while he was there, he would catch rats in his cell.
Yes,
and
I read that.
Cut them up into pieces, and or stick them with little pieces of wood, impale the rat in his cell.
Just to, yeah, feed his.
Yeah, and he said it was because he was unable to forget his wickedness.
Right.
Oh, man.
Right.
So he had to do it.
It's in his blood, literally,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's like just a way of
torturing
something.
Sort of reference back to H.H. Holmes, too. It's he did it because he felt like he was the embodiment of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't help himself. He had to do it. Well, Vlad was the same way as far as torture and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he was brutal. When we were talking about this last week, we were saying some things. I don't know if I couldn't mention it, but you know what he did to the women, the moms, and their babies.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to get into it.
I know. Well, and he took pride in it too, because he wrote to the Sultan saying, you know, I've basically, you know, our peace treaty is null and void, kind of, you know, like peace has been. But he was prideful of it. And then they said in that, what I put down there that he signed as Dracula, one of those documents, he actually signed, like at the end of that parchment, he put a curse in it. Mm. I don't know if you guys ran across that at all, but thinking about that, I was like, oh, only Vlad the Impaler would like
right.
finish mm-hmm. a letter with a curse. But they said that was a common thing to do, is to curse your enemy and to put a curse in there. But he did. It's like, it's right there in black and white.
That's cool. I mean, it's for it's, history purposes.
Yeah.
So Dracula. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know, you hear stories about kids getting treated poorly and mom, you know, but
right.
what he did to those two at the same time, you know, so like I said, I don't want to be too gory and graphic, but mm-hmm. yeah, he would torture and kill moms and their babies. And I don't want to get into how, but it's just like, oh, reading that just broke my heart and just sickened me, like, oh gosh, you know, it's one thing to hear somebody impaled, which is bad enough. But yeah. But to do that with the moms and baby, ugh.
Well, he had no limits.
No. Oh,
no.
The
no conscience.
When he had those, you call it like around his gardens and stuff, and then when mm-hmm. he did it with the Turks and everything, mm-hmm. they would call it the Forest of the Impaled. You know, can you imagine?
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, that's not yeah. your typical everyday forest.
Then no. I know you guys have seen the Bram Stoker's movie, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, at the very beginning where it portrays him as Vlad with mm-hmm. all the.
Now, I have not seen that.
You have to see it. It's really good.
The very beginning is okay. excellent.
They try to tie those two stories together, right?
Right. Who was in the.
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman plays.
Anthony Hopkins is the narrator.
Right.
Is the narrator, and he plays
okay, right.
like one of the priests.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have not seen that. I wanted to, but I haven't gotten around to it, but I heard it's very good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah. And Gary Oldman, he's a great actor. Yeah. I like Oldman. He's a good actor in everything he's at. But yeah, I don't know, guys. Like this,
I couldn't help but tie Dracula into it, and I put a couple pictures that were more Dracula related, but I couldn't help myself because it just, it's so closely related, and it is, that's an interesting thing too. We could, you know, we'll surface level that as well, but how, you know, these stories, they say that not, Bram Stoker wasn't only, you know, influenced by Vlad the Impaler, but of course that had to have come into it. But there was a, I love this story, and we'll have to talk about this one a little bit more too. And I know I'm going to mess this up, but, it is, it's a school, it's a fabled school of black magic under Transylvania. Did you guys hear anything about that?
I did not.
No, I don't think so.
The Solo, let's see, the Solomonts, it's Romanian, and I couldn't pronounce it in Romanian, but the Solomonari was a fabled school of black magic in Romania, especially in the region of Transylvania, which was run by the devil. Or the dragon, right? Mm-hmm. According to folkloric accounts, the school enrolled about 10 students to become these Solomonari. And basically, you sold your soul is what you did. Because if you didn't pass this particular school, you died. So that's not great. But in order to stay in this school, you would have sold your soul. So the idea is that Dracula, at least the character Dracula, comes from being trained by the devil. But they're... But the wondering is like, is he connected to the devil, which would make sense,
certainly.
Or, you know, how did he get away from the devil in a sense, you know, what's the backstory to that? So, like I said, that's kind of made up and all folklore kind of stuff, but it's a fascinating part of how Vlad the Impaler, you know, was basically evolved throughout history.
Yeah. And there's something in these guys, these people that it's gotta be something. Something sinister, something that's
this,
yeah, the, like the devil or
this
demon,
school is
something
mentioned
dark.
And again, it's not like it's historical, but Bram Stoker actually put it in his notes. They said there's just a little mention of this school that's under Transylvania, but it was at least in his mind when he wrote his notes out.
Yeah.
I read a few. It's like 50-50. Some people, they say that Bram Stoker, at his time, didn't really know anything about Vlad. He couldn't be the inspiration. But then there's too many connections. In my personal opinion, I'm on the other side of the 50-50 of... I think Vlad had a lot of inspiration in Bram Stoker's story.
Oh, I believe that too. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I don't... Because I read that too, and I was very surprised. I had never heard of that until doing research. I thought, seriously? Some people say that he had no idea that... I mean, how do you come up with Dracula, and then there's Vlad Dracul?
Yeah.
Dracula, I mean, that's... kind of
which translates to Dracula.
Yeah. So what are they talking about? I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, but I thought it was silly, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm agreeing with you, Nate. I think it's kind of too easy to kind of make sense
he would be what you want, but
right, he'd be inspired by Vlad.
Yeah. They're all kind of like, and there's again, this goes way back in a lot of different histories, and a lot of different people have their own stories. I listen to so many different ones, and I'm sure we'll touch on some of them. You know, throughout these podcasts, but like different types of the undead and the vampires. So vampires were a huge like thing of, oh my gosh, they're not staying dead. And they would go, you know, dig people up to see if, you know, if they were still, they looked like they'd been alive and they were pale skinned and whatever, if they still had blood in their heart, you know? That was a big thing. So that's what I know that influenced Bram Stoker too, is that the vampire legend and lore had been around for a long time and was, you know, there's all kind of different isolated incidents too of people like showing proof that there were vampires and are vampires throughout history. So that probably, you know, just like throughout time, people want to tell ghost stories and tales that make you go, you know, get creepy and, you know, not be able to sleep at night or keep kids up, you know, that's the same thing that happened in his time as well. Yeah. But to create a character like that is still with us and that Hollywood took and shaped and made a little more sexual and romantic, you know, it's, he's definitely come a long way from impaling people in the front yard, you know, and quote unquote eating or drinking their blood, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I've heard some stories. Yeah. Back and, you know, you think 1800s is a long time ago, but not really when you're talking about what they would do is dig up bodies or, you know, remove the casket just to see if they were still, you know, possible vampires. That's not that long ago, really, for them to do something like that. And then, yeah, here comes Bram Stoker to write Dracula. It comes together too easy to me.
And I think there's certain, like, scientifical times where they did dig the bodies up.
Oh, yeah.
And because of whatever's happening in the casket and what's around it, whatever, in the ground, the body wasn't decomposing like they thought it should have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, I mean, you can debunk that now with science and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But back then, it was like, look, see, he's coming to life at night and eating people. He's not decomposing.
Well, if you think about it, like, and vampires were, you know, they were a big thing in the 1800s. We got big in Hollywood. And to think about it, we did all the, you know, the teenage vampire stuff was huge when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And it's not too long ago did it kind of go out of fashion. And then it's only recently that, like, zombies have kind of taken it over. But yeah, vampires have been a big thing for a long time.
Sure.
Frankenstein's monster and Dracula have always been my favorite, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, I mean, I've seen a few vampire movies. You know, I love Dusk to Dawn. That's a classic.
Yeah, that one's good.
You know, it's got some humor and all that. Yeah.
Oh, right, right.
You know, I've said before, I don't like the really super gory or graphic movies, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be insinuated or it can be, you know, I don't mind violence, but I don't, even in like mafia movies or even Westerns, like, I don't need to see the brains blown out. Just, you know, shoot them in the chest.
Right.
I like those Van Helsing
movies. Love Van Helsing. Those are good. You know, yeah. I just want a good story. I want the character.
Hugh Jackman, you can't beat him.
Yeah, that's a great, you know, it's not, I mean, they did a great movie, a great character with that vamp, and it wasn't gory, it wasn't blood, you know what I mean, or it wasn't grotesque or over the top, you know. And so sometimes I stay away from certain vampire movies. Now, Dusk to Dawn is violent. A couple scenes were a little bit much, but not. But I've seen the movie probably a dozen times.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't send me over. But a lot of these, I really have to, like, I don't like the throat being ripped out and seeing it. You
right.
know, I just, I don't know. So I don't know about that movie you're telling me about.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, and so I don't know. Is it gory? Is it grotesque? You know,
it's got some gore and there's a lot of blood in it, but it's not.
I don't like the blood. It's just how
when you watch it now, it's not nearly as bad as some of the movies now.
In
my opinion,
yeah,
I think they try to hold true to the book and everything.
Mm-hmm. They do, because I've read the book many times. But yeah,
I mean, hers. But that's why
it's a great story.
But I've always loved the vampire lore and the vampire character. I just sometimes when I'm watching a movie, I have to, like, is it going to be a little bit too much? You know, I just I'm admitting I just don't like the
Blade.
Oh yeah,
and they're Daywalker.
They're doing that again, right?
I've never seen that.
Never seen
you know, Blade is
he's
one
a Marvel.
Oh, it's one
and character.
Yeah, I know of it.
Blade is the first movie that was successful. That really, they say that credit. God bless Wesley Snipes, and just that story started the Marvel Revolution.
Yeah,
they said that is where it really started, was Blade.
So he's a Marvel character.
He's a Marvel.
I never knew that.
Yeah,
I thought it was
go
just
get all the issues.
Okay. Because they made two or three of them. They made.
I think there's three.
Three, yeah.
And I've never seen any of them.
There's
a TV series,
mm-hmm.
and then I think they're going to reboot it.
Okay.
They are going to reboot it. Yeah, that's for sure.
Interesting.
And then I just looked up this because I saw this. Marvel's
on the move, baby.
Yeah, I saw this a long time ago, and it wasn't really that bad. It seems like it would be a goofy horror movie, but I sort of enjoyed it. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Oh, I never saw
Vampire Slayer or something like that.
I heard it was really good.
You have seen it or not?
I've seen it, yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, I sort of want to watch it again because it's been so long.
I've heard the same thing.
I've seen it, but yeah, it's actually
surprisingly good.
Yeah, it's surprisingly good.
Because when I saw that, when it came out, like, this sounds hokey.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what man, about? What the heck?
How do you put Abraham Lincoln and the Vampire Slayer together? But
yeah, it's actually,
they made it work.
I enjoyed it, yeah.
They made it work, okay.
But, you know, don't take my opinion.
I take your opinion. I
get
value
in some goofy stuff. Other That's people fine. Watching like, no, this is horrible. It's like, I don't know.
I'll check it out. But
Nate got me on this thing called Tubi, and I've heard it before.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But they've got a lot of good movies.
Yeah, and we a lot of horror movies.
Horrors and horror movies.
Yeah, I know.
Make sure
I
got that extra Sean syllable. Said that correctly. Horror movies and horror genre and TV shows and
scary stuff.
Yes,
that's a different.
Yeah, right. I know.
Podcast.
Wait, get that off there. That wasn't supposed to be on there.
No, yeah. Dusk to Dawn, though. I love that.
Yeah,
movie.
That's good.
This
movie.
Is. I'm going to bring up something that's very. I wanted to mention a couple things. Was Castlevania, the old Castlevania games, I loved as a kid, and they scared the. And
it's,
they're not.
It's funny that you're bringing that.
There's
up.
There's so many Castlevanias
there's,
now.
On Netflix, they have an anime series,
and I've watched it. It is so graphic, though.
Yeah,
and it's
very graphic.
So good, yeah. Be,
but it's good. The story, the storyline's really good.
So good, but all of a sudden graphic. You just get
third season is very graphic.
It gets worse and worse, but it is one. It really is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love those old games. That's why I thought, this will be kind of fun. It is, but it's not for kids. Not at all.
Not for kids, no.
I don't know if it's that. The Simon Belmont story. I love it.
There was a series on Netflix. This is maybe a year ago. And it was a series where it wasn't just vampires. It was multiple type creatures, entities, but vampire, the vampire was, I think, the main one. Mm-hmm. And they were going into this, I don't know, this underground tunnel, something, underground city, hunting this vampire that was killing people. And I'm watching it. I'm like, okay, because I just want to check it, you know, check it out. And oh my gosh, like within 5 minutes, it was just all hell broke loose. And they're just killing, you know, like I said, I don't mind violence to a certain level.
But that graphic, yeah.
I mean, but so they start, and it's just stabbing people right through the eye, you know, through the head. I'm like, okay, click.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's not what, yeah, a little much right off the bat. I'm like, but at least it, yeah, at least I didn't get wrapped up in it and go, oh, shoot. You know,
yeah.
But within a few minutes, I'm like, nope, not, that's beyond my level.
You're like, I'm out.
I'm out. It's probably good, but nope, not for me.
See, I'd watch it.
I can't do that, man. I just cannot do that.
I had a, this is a little bit off topic of what we're talking slightly, because on the last one, when with our interview with Aaron, we were joking about how the podcast can run without us and it can't run without
me.
And one of the things, in one of these videos about around the Vlad the Impaler talk, they were talking about how some of these beautiful castles and the way that there was such ingenuity in these constructions. And the master masons, we're not talking about the Freemasons, we're talking about like the true brick mason, the actual masons. They said, we were talking about keystones. So you said you referred to yourself as the keystone, but they would make the master mason as soon as these things were built.
He installed the keystone.
He installed the keystone and they made them stand, the Freemason, I didn't know this, they made that master mason, stand underneath of it. And if it dropped, he would die. So he believed in his work that much or put that much craftsmanship that they trusted themselves. Otherwise it was death.
And majority of these arches are still standing.
Still standing today. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? But I thought that was such a cool story. And it's back from those times and even before. But around that time, they were talking about how cool masonry was and how it was up and coming. I had to touch on a little bit of that.
I've always been fascinated with the whole concept of the keystone. As soon as I heard that term and it was explained what it was, I was like, oh, man.
And now you are one. So
I mean, I use it all the time.
Great. No, it's true, though. Nothing it's really neat.
I mean, all you have to do is remove that one stone. That's it.
The whole thing collapses.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
That
it really is.
Crazy.
It's the miracle piece.
That's right.
So that is why Nate is our keystone, though. I want to bring that up.
He is.
But I like the history of it, too.
Yeah. He's not here. Nothing happened.
We were talking about one thing I wanted to, there was a, with Vlad, his, and it's in that the Dracula movie too, they loosely try to put where the love of his life, his first wife, when the Turks are invading and he's fighting, he's fighting them off. She actually, instead of getting taken over by the Turks, she jumps from the top of the tower into the ravine down below, or river or moat or whatever it was down there. And it's still called the Princess's River. But she fell to her death rather than succumb to the Turks. I thought that was interesting. But they highlight that too. That's part of the Dracula story that they do in that movie.
Okay.
And one of the good things, we're talking about Vlad being revered. He did found what is still the capital of Romania, is Bucharest.
Bucharest.
That was him.
Yep.
Then his cat, well, that it's not technically named Dracula's castle, but the castle that they refer as Dracula's castle is up on top of this mountain
and
cliff.
I put a picture of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, now, is that the one that they said he never stepped foot in? There's a castle that's,
I think
that people think that's in there. Like he was in there. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even built when he was.
I think he utilized this one.
Cause
I think there's one of them. Yeah. It's like in ruins now. And I think they tried to deem it as Dracula's castle, but they're like, he never was around this thing.
You know, but without knowing that, people think, yeah, that was his castle. Well,
if it looks creepy, that's why I put.
I know. That's what they rely on. Just that time period.
That's what
it really wasn't in there.
I put fake Dracula's castle just for fun because it was fun to put on there.
Yeah.
But I think that castle, he put it up on that top of that ridge on that mountain and everything on the cliff. I mean, it wasn't very big because there wasn't a whole lot of room to build this thing.
Yeah.
But I think it was a strategic spot because it was hard to get up
to get there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was able to look way through the mountains,
fortified,
and see Transylvania. And then he could look the other way and see, you know, if the Ottoman Empire is coming up from sure, the south.
Right. You just wonder, like you wonder if he had any idea of like the impact that he was making with all the things he was doing. I'm sure not. I'm sure he had no clue, but that, you know, we could still be talking to such a historical person.
And they said that he was playing both sides too. It's mm-hmm. like he promised the, what do they call him? The Ottoman Empire on the one side, but then,
like the Hungarians.
Well, it's the people that, were in, Transylvania. I can't remember their name.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll find it here in a second.
That's all right.
But they're, he was playing both sides. You know, he is promising, hey, yeah, he was you have my allegiance.
He's an intelligent.
He goes
leader.
Over to these guys, hey, you have my allegiance.
Right, yeah. I do.
Yeah, he's playing both sides of the,
right.
of the war.
I remember coming across, I don't know, I couldn't tell you that.
I'll find it here in a minute.
That's fine.
I was going to mention real quick, just to get this out of the way. We were talking about his torturous ways, and of course, impalement was his favorite method of torture. But, you know, it said men, women, and children were not, I mean,
exempt.
You got everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, children were just tortured just as much.
They were a tally mark is what it was.
Yeah. And he also, so other than impaling, they were hanged, burned, roasted, skinned, stabbed, nailed, boiled, blinded, strangled, buried alive, and decapitated.
I forgot about the boiling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought, good night.
Boiling? Yeah, I found it. The Saxons.
Torture. Oh, the Saxons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
I knew what it was, but
I should have known that. Yeah. They say the Saxons were big into, they were kind of the first, everything had its price, and they were real, mm-hmm.
They're like merchants.
Merchants, and they were like very, hard-nosed, and he hated them. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's I did hear. Yeah, I should have remembered that.
Yeah.
Because eventually the Anglo-Saxons, and that's where
right.
the that English came from. That's where we kind of mm-hmm. eventually come from.
Mm-hmm.
He was very methodical, very, I thought he was very intelligent. Everything was planned.
Crazy.
But
he was intelligent. And
maniacal, but he was also, just very, very intelligent about how he went, whether it's his warfare or how mm-hmm. he... Lured,
He was supposedly assassinated in 1476 in Bucharest, and he was only 45 years old. And they're not exactly sure where he's buried, because supposedly where he's buried is empty, and so they're not sure exactly what happened to him. But historically speaking, they say that they caught him, decapitated him, and they sent his head back in honey to the Sultan, so the Sultan could put it on display and say, basically, look, people, that this horrible person, Vlad the Impaler, is gone. And, you know, you don't have to be scared anymore.
Yeah, I had in my notes that, when he was decapitated.
And we win, right?
Yeah. So, his head had been sent back to the Sultan Mehmet II in Constantinople as a trophy to prove that he was, killed. What'd you say? 45? Yeah, he was pretty.
He's
young.
Only 45. Yeah,
young dude.
That's probably
a lot in his 45. Yeah.
Back then, that's and being a ruler, that's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Alexander the Great only made it to 33.
Well, he's being caught and imprisoned a couple times too. It's like, man, that he did a lot.
Yeah,
survived a lot.
Yeah, and I read also, Sean, that they're not sure exactly where his resting, his burial site's at, but. But they think it's in Bucharest, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what,
That's where,
They just don't know exactly where.
Exactly, right. There's still myth and lore about that.
Yeah. I don't know. This guy, like I said, I knew a little bit about him before we did the research and did this episode, but I didn't know, I just knew the impalement, but from the torture methods to who he tortured, how he tortured, I didn't know he was a ruler that, three different times, I just knew basic stuff about
him. Yeah.
Didn't know
this dude's
who
name
he came
Vlad,
from.
He's crazy and he impels people.
Yeah. But there's a lot. Yeah. And like I said, we really could probably do a second and third part on more of
just getting all the history
background.
There would be.
Yeah. There's so much history in those 45 years. A lot of history with him.
And I never knew that, I didn't know about the dragon thing and the devil. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that meant. It's very interesting. Yeah, I encourage people to look it up if you want to find out more about him, especially his background,
Yeah. There's a lot of good documentaries out there, too.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, this dude was pretty intense.
So we had...
Watch Bram Stoker's Dracula.
He's a ruthless
you get both
monster.
Sides of it.
So you said that movie starts out kind of from this...
They try. Yeah. They're trying to kind of piece it together historically.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And then like
they do it a good. I think they do a good job.
Yeah, I think so. Because it shows him in battle, shows people impaled, and shows his red awesome armor.
Mm-hmm.
Shows him with his wife, and then as a human, and then makes
his wife
a deal.
Plunges to her death, and yeah. And then he's mad because he was standing up for Christianity, and then he comes in and he's like cursing the priest, and he makes a deal with the devil. He takes his knife and stabs the cross, and it starts spurting out blood. And then he like, I'm not sure where he goes exactly. I guess down to hell, but he's like becomes, that's how he becomes Dracula. And that's how the movie starts.
See. Okay.
Count Dracula.
Yeah. Dracula.
I'm all about him sticking up for Christians, but I'm like, could you do it?
Yeah, I know.
Way. Is it possible?
He's a ruthless monster, but he's methods, really, so.
He kept Christianity alive.
So. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Do you find him being like he's like we were talking about like H.H. Holmes, where there's maybe could be maybe not, you know, a lot of.
He was like a super alpha male, you know. Like I think he really was just trying to hold on to his power and whatever.
He thought he was doing the right thing.
Yeah, I think in his mind,
he thought he was doing God's work,
doing the right thing. Yeah,
I don't know, but there's a lot of other people that kept in power that I'm sure they did things behind the scenes we don't know about. But there's a lot of rulers throughout history that didn't do these horrible things and kept power. But who knows? But he was also in Central Europe trying to survive. So who knows?
Wild,
it's kind of a
wild
dark
days.
It's a dark place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think
dark history anyway.
Right. And I think just maybe his intentions were legitimate first, and then it just got kind of carried away. Maybe he just kind of lost track of what he was trying to do, and it just got like the
unless he is just so into making that bold statement.
Yeah. Oh, he did.
Oh yeah, he did.
Right.
Yeah, he's in the history books.
Yeah, 20,000 people impaled as you're eating dinner, and you come across, they're like, hey, I'm going to mind my business.
Who wants dessert?
Yeah,
what would dessert be?
This is fabulous.
Exactly. Who is this made from?
Yeah. So, oh, yeah.
We turned a really dark corner there, didn't we?
No, I really, the history in this character, this black guy, is very fascinating to research and talk about. I don't know what else you guys want to say or whatever.
I
mean, whatever else you have in your notes.
I think we covered
the
big
points. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, and
who he is, what he did.
And again, I'm going to say it's my opinion, but I mean, to me, Stoker had to have inspiration from Vlad. It's just too close to the name and everything. And the, you know,
are you trying? Are you going to officially say that's the last nail in the coffin? Is that what you're going to? I know. I was saving that one.
That's a joke.
I've been sitting on that one for like a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's a man. Oh, he had that's a something I would have said.
Stake to the heart.
Stake to the steak.
Man. Somebody say steak. I'm hungry.
I am getting hungry now.
I was going to say that sucks.
All that talk of meat and steaks and impalement. Oh no.
No, but yeah. I mean, do you guys have anything else you want to talk about or add?
Only before? Silliness.
We've covered that,
and then some, right?
Well, I liked it. I liked discussing this guy, and he was. Yeah, I learned a lot.
Well,
that I had no
historical.
Idea about.
Yeah,
it's a real that, dude.
That's what's cool guy. About it. Yeah, it really is.
And you think about what did you say? 1400? Like it was like 1431 ish when he was born.
Yeah, when he was born ish. Yeah,
it's a long time. 700 years ago, almost 800 years ago, and that's still relevant. Still popular.
It's a blink of an eye now, yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I hope you guys did too. I hope the listeners learned a little bit more about Vlad.
Hope we didn't creep you out too much.
Maybe I hope we did.
Hope we did, yeah.
I hope we did. That's
right.
What our...
There's two sides of that coin, right?
that's what our goal is.
That's right.
But then sometimes, like Sean said...
Wait, hold on. Let me
sometimes we creep
middle-aged
ourselves
and,
out.
Middle-aged and... Oh, you're right. Creeped out.
Yeah,
you're right.
There's a part... Yeah, there's a second part to that. we're just not middle-aged and, you know, coming... saying whatever.
I have to say, put that on today, but that guy that was dressed in armor and he's like looking all sad and it says when she says she's not into middle-aged guys.
Oh,
I was like, the guys are going to love
that. Was good. Yeah.
That was funny.
That was good. And you know what else is funny? I wonder, you sent us a video a couple weeks ago. It was the rap battle between Dracula and Vlad.
That was hilarious.
That
it's so inappropriate.
So clever. It's very, so very, yeah.
There's a bunch of those rap battles, but that one was
so
funny.
Listeners, look on, what was it, YouTube?
YouTube.
Look on and just put rap battle between Dracula and Vlad the Impaler.
Oh,
and
so funny.
These two guys, or I don't know if it was, maybe it was the same guy. I think it was the same guy doing two characters.
I thought you were going to say some of the inappropriate things that I sent you, and that's fairly inappropriate.
I can't, this is, again,
not that I never send you anything inappropriate.
Right. Maybe. No, that was funny.
Maybe there was that one time.
One or two times.
Or five, seven.
Well, guys, that is that's it then. If these guys don't have anything else, that's Vlad the Impaler for you. So go, yeah, check the movies out or check, yeah, do some more research.
Go Vlad, right?
Yeah. Go Vlad or
go Vlad or go, we can't go Vlad or go home.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That came off the
top. Oh, man. Well, I am going to turn it back over to Sean for his middle-aged moment.
So this is your middle-aged moment. I feel like I should do some kind of a soft, sultry voice, but I won't because that's just kind of
weird.
You have
to do it in the coming out of Dracula.
Oh, no. Yeah. Dracula. Coming on. I can't even.
Middle-aged moment.
I feel like I'm going to turn into the Sesame Street.
Yeah, you're
count one, two, three. So this is our middle-aged moment. And we're getting late. It's getting late. We're getting tired. And I think we're getting silly. We're getting slap happy, right? We're getting the giggles.
Didn't take much.
So in this middle-aged moment, I know, you know, we've been doing this a lot, you know, several episodes. And, you know, we want to remind you that obviously we're community and mental health is a big part of what we do. So we talk about some disturbing things, but we always want to try to bring ourselves out of those talks and have some. These middle-aged moments are about, you know, reflecting on what's important in life and just kind of having some interesting discussions about what's going on in our lives and what's meaningful to us. And it was funny because I have all these different ideas that I'm going to do. And sometimes getting down to the, you know, a couple of days even before this, like a song will happen or I'll hear a poem or I'll hear a story or somebody will bring up a conversation and I'll think about something. And so we were driving on Sunday, we were driving to my son's baseball game, William. And he'd never heard of the movie St. Elmo's Fire, which is in movies from the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Like we're talking back, you know, back in the day now. Great movie. Check it out. It's, you know,
a lot of good actors.
Yeah, a lot of good actors. And just very much 80s feel. But it's a good movie. But it out of that came a song called Man in Motion. Hmm. And that was playing. And so, and you always think of it as like, oh, this is a St. Elmo's Fire song. Because they say St. Elmo's Fire in there. But William was asking me, he said, what is St. Elmo's Fire? And I was like, I have no idea. I don't know. I think it's something that's supposed to be meaningful and something that is inspiring. So I actually looked it up. So I'm going to tell before I go over what I want to go over. So St. Elmo's Fire is a weather phenomenon in which luminous plasma is created by a corona discharge from a rod-like object such as a mast, spire, chimney, or animal horn in an atmospheric electric field. The intensity of the effect is a blue or violet glow around the object, often accompanied by a hissing or buzzing sound, is proportional to the strength of the electric field and therefore noticeable primarily during thunderstorms or volcanic eruptions. St. Elmo's Fire is named after St. Erasmus of Formia, also known as St. Elmo, the patron saint of sailors. The phenomenon, which can warn of an imminent lightning strike, was regarded by sailors with awe and sometimes considered to be a good omen. Had you guys ever heard that before?
No, I had not.
No.
So thanks to William, now we all know what St. Elmo's Fire is. But that leads me to, I'll tell you, when I listen to the lyrics, and I'm trying not to get like any kind of copyright infringement here, but I want to give, so it's St. Elmo's Fire. It's Man in Motion, actually, but this is even labeled as St. Elmo's Fire. Mm-hmm. But the song is by John Parr.
Oh, yeah.
And I can hear it in my head. And I'm not going to sing these lyrics, but when I read these lyrics, you can almost hear it if you've ever heard it.
I can see the video in my head right now.
But I played it for my kids and they were like, that's a really good song. I'm like, total 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Total, like, you know, a little cheesy, but the meaning behind it, it just kind of brings tears to your eyes. And you're like, oh my God, it's such an inspirational song. And I told him, this should be like your coming to bat song. You know, you should, and people be like, what in the world is that? But I'm going to read the lyrics and you can judge for yourself. So it's growing up, you don't see the writing on the wall. Passing by, moving straight ahead, you knew it all, but maybe sometimes if you feel the pain, you'll find you're all alone. Everything has changed. Play the game. You know you can't wait until it's won. Soldier on. Only you can do what must be done. You know in some way you're a lot like me. You're just a prisoner and you're trying to break free. I can see a new horizon. It's hard not to sing it. I can see a new horizon underneath the blazing sky. I'll be where the eagles are flying higher and higher. Going to be your man in motion. All I need is this pair of wheels. Take me where my future's future's lying. St. Elmo's fire. And I won't say that. Ooh. Burning up.
You just did.
I did. I couldn't help it.
Burning up. Don't know just how far I can go. Just how far I can go. Soon be home. Only just a few miles down the road. I can make it. I know I can. You broke the boy in me, but you won't break the man. I can see a new horizon underneath the blazing sky. I'll be where the eagle's flying higher and higher. Gonna be your man in motion. All I need is this pair of wheels. Take me where my future's lying, St. Elmo's fire. I can climb the highest mountain, cross the wildest sea. I can feel St. Elmo's fire burning in me. Burning in me. Just once in this life, a man has his time. And my time is now. I'm coming alive. I can hear the music playing. I can see the banners fly. Feel like you're back again and hope riding high. Gonna be your man in motion. All I need is this pair of wheels. Take me where my future's lying, St. Elmo's fire. I can see a new horizon underneath the blazing sky. I'll be where the eagle's flying higher and higher. Gonna be your man in motion. All I need is this pair of wheels. Take me where my future's lying, St. Elmo's fire. I can climb the highest mountain, cross the wildest sea. I can feel St. Elmo's fire burning in me. Burning in me. I can feel it. St. Elmo's fire. St. Elmo's fire.
I wish you would have sang.
Gosh, I'm so close to it. So many times.
Man in motion. Oh, yeah.
All I need is pain.
I'm looking at John Parr right now. He had a glorious set of hair. Look at that.
Uh-oh, not the mustache. Oh, my gosh.
And he's got the vest open.
And the vest with the sleeveless vest. Sleeveless. With my gosh. Chest hair coming out.
Yeah.
John Parr.
That is a good song, though.
But seriously, go listen to it on YouTube. If you never heard it, you're welcome.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah, that's not. Hey, it's less than 10 seconds. I think it's not copyrighted.
It's only 68, by the way.
It's only two notes.
It's two notes. Yeah, nobody knows. Yeah. What was that?
And you know, I've never seen that movie, by the way. Never seen St. Elmo's Fire.
I've seen it, but it has been so long.
I've seen it. But yeah, it was long.
It's a, I mean, I've seen like a lot of those.
Bits
yeah.
and pieces, but not much. Yeah. Other than that.
But I thought, but the song, now, seriously, like hearing the lyrics, there's a lot of inspiration there. But when you hear the song,
mm-hmm.
like William was like, I love that song. Like he was
it's
just
all about
really
the
like
Deliverance.
It is, and I didn't. Yeah,
great movie too.
St. Elmo's fire.
When he says, "My time is now,"
burning
it's like,
in me. Yep. So it is, but it.
When was that?
When? Ooh, yeah. I don't know. You're the stats guy.
85.
Trying to hit 85? It to look up the stats on it, and it started playing. So.
84.
84.
Yep. I was 13.
So
I was four.
It's meant to inspire you. I saw.
Son of a.
I'm gonna
gun.
Have. Have you
not that big of a gap?
You're still middle aged though. You're just lesser.
There was a really cool picture, and I haven't posted it yet, but I'm gonna have to post it. And it's of this. It's an astronaut sitting on the moon, and he's just sitting there in like a recliner chair, and he's got a beer, and he's just looking at the world. And it's kind of cool because it's just kind of like it's like John Lennon just watching the wheels go round and round.
Yeah.
And just the observe. It's like the Moon Observer is what I think it was called. But mm-hmm. it's such a cool picture. And it just makes me think, like, you know, sometimes you just have to sit back. You know, you obviously, like I said, the St. Elmo's fire is an inspiring and that fire inside of you.
Sure.
But there's also that juxtaposition of where you just have to sometimes sit back and observe, let life be what it is, let people be who they are. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of the message for tonight is just be, you know, that's where I'm finding the most joy in my life is just being.
Yeah.
Having a beer on the moon, watching the earth, you know.
don't take everything on. That's what I try to do.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You know? But no, that was good. I'm glad you. Yeah.
If we follow Elon Musk, we might be able to make it to Mars or the moon, you know, and mm-hmm. be able to have a beer on the moon or Mars.
Yeah.
If he has his way pretty soon.
Never know. That guy, man, he's something else. I'm too smart for me. But no, thanks for reading that, Sean.
No problem at all.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that song in a while.
A good one.
I hear it every once in a while on the radio. I'm like, oh,
I've really
gosh,
been wanting to do song lyrics, and I was like, oh, that's, yeah. That was just a fun one that came out of, like I said, something personal.
I will admit, even as a kid, I could tell there was something like, it is pretty inspirational. I mean, it's, you know, kind of.
I know it's hokey, but that's why I love hokey, though.
It's cheesy 80s hokey, but then there is still, though.
Campy, yeah.
Yeah, but it also, yeah, it does, like, kind of fires you up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't know.
I've always
especially
felt,
now as an adult.
I've always felt that, like, music, it, I mean. A lot of it speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you should feel something. I mean, it's coming from a musician with being in bands and playing music all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if it's not moving you, then what's the point of listening to it?
Right. Yeah, happy, sad, excited, pumped up. Mm-hmm.
I think we vibrate a certain frequency, and music, you're right, music, and it can put you in a certain mood too.
You can be having the crappiest day,
and it'll lift you up.
Throw your favorite artist on, and then you're just like, yeah, I'm ready, bring it.
Mm-hmm. You know? It recharges your battery, right? Yeah. I agree with that.
Yep, I like it.
I couldn't survive without music, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, I love music.
Well, I mean, God loves music, you know? Mm-hmm. Speaks about it in the Bible, so... Well, thank you, sir. You want to continue with the announcements?
Of course I do.
Before we close this out?
So we always want to tell you guys how you can contact us. So the first place that you can always look for us at is our email address, and that's makopodcast@gmail.com. So that's makopodcast@gmail.com. You can always find us on Facebook and Instagram. Along with that email, and that's Middle-Aged and Creeped Out on both of those, please feel free to join our groups. We would love to have you on either one of those. Mm-hmm. We have quite the meme game going on and all the funny pictures. We just try to I was telling people today, like, I just enjoy brightening people's day. You know, we try to put a few of those out a day. Some of them, nowadays we're doing like brain teasers and quizzes and things like that, and trying to get people to just interact and have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because we just want people to be able to take a second out of their day and have a laugh, or... you know, think a little bit, or say, oh, you know, what's Todd, Nate, and Sean up to, you know, and what's this community doing, you know?
So
it's just kind of fun.
And you're going to keep getting my dad jokes. So,
yeah. And people love those. You know, they do. I do. I chuckle at them. So we cannot express enough how much we appreciate all of your support, all of the encouragement. You know, and we've mentioned this on another podcast where, you know, if you like us, if you review us, if you're listening to our podcast, or if you're on our group pages and you make comments or you share something yourself, that speaks to us that, oh my gosh, they took time out of their life to share part of their life with us and as part of their time. And there's no more precious commodity than time. So we really appreciate all the encouragement and all the support. You can always find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom. There's so many different ways to find us. There's a lot of little ones too. A Podbean. We were talking about all these other little ones that are popping up that, not, I wouldn't call them little ones, but ones that I'm not as familiar
you
with.
You have no excuse.
Have no excuse.
Not to hear us.
Excuses be gone.
That's right.
So there's all kind of ways to reach out to us. We are still in May. We're just barely in May, but May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so we are definitely, that's something we're always doing, even, you know, beyond May, but May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And we want to always give out the substance abuse and mental health hotlines. That's 1-800-662-4357. That's the last four, help. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline. That is 1-800-273-8255, and the last four on that is talk.
Nice. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
But I want to say, before I sign off, I want to say thank you to, I made a post, what was it, Monday? I'm trying to think what today is. Yeah, Monday. So I had a procedure done yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And it was nice to get, you know, have people say something or just like it. And just, I was a little nervous, a little anxious.
Yeah.
So everything turned out great. Oh. I have a clean bill of health. And
we're glad you're okay.
So yeah, thank you, sir. That's all you can hope for.
But it was nice. Yeah, a lot of people, you know, I just...
So this means we're going to get to 15 then. Is that what you're saying?
Do what?
We're going to get to 15.
Yeah, we're...
Todd's so, okay. making it to 15.
We're at least
I'm making it to 15. Nate, you making it to 15?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to throw a guarantee out there.
There's no guarantees, but...
I'm throwing it out there. I'm guaranteeing it. Just yeah.
I'm going to guarantee
it. No, but it really made me
we're
feel
coming.
Good.
And, we're coming at you.
Yeah, we're coming at you. And so, no, but thank you for all the support and love you showed me. And
were you just talking to me?
Hmm?
Just me?
Just you, Sean.
Just the love and support.
And Nate, a little bit.
No,
yeah.
No,
I know. Fuzzy.
I know you're trying to play footsie with me under there. I keep feeling. Or was that Nate?
It's Sam.
It was Sam. I knew it was somebody. It was a big ball then.
But I do want to say though, like if you know going through something that you're anxious about or depressed about, stressed about, worried, whatever, or you just need encouragement, prayer, whatever, don't hesitate to mention it. You know, if you're comfortable,
we're here. That's absolutely. We're always here.
It's a safe place. We're not going to blab your business or, you know,
right.
You know, I see it on my personal Facebook page. Some people say, I really don't want to mention specifics, but I just need a prayer or I just need an encouraging word. There's something going on. It's making me a little down or sad, or I'm a little nervous about it. It's all, you know, you don't need to, we don't need to know the
it's all we
specifics
need to know.
If you're not comfortable with it. Yeah.
Right.
It's all we need to know. So
just know we're here. There are people here for you. That's for sure.
Exactly. Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed episode 14, Vlad the Impaler. That was fun to do. So
It was a lot of fun. It was cool. Yeah. Thank you, Nate, for that.
Yeah. That was Nate's.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, well, again, thank you. And we just want to thank you for listening, as always. And, yeah, join us next time for episode 15. And until next time, Creepies, Nate is our sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.